It's time for another edition of the FantasyGuru.com show. And now, here's your host from FantasyGuru.com, John Hansen.
Welcome to another edition of the FantasyGuru.com podcast. I'm John Hansen. It is Thursday, March 26th, and this is actually our first podcast of the 2015 season. We are going to gear up, though, big time, and we're going to be covering all 32 teams and individual podcasts. We're going to do our pre-draft podcast with Greg Cosell in a couple of weeks. Then we're going to reconvene after the draft with Greg, and we're going to do the post-draft podcast. And also a reminder that the early bird special at FantasyGuru.com ends in 1 month. You can subscribe today to FantasyGuru.com for a price that is 20% lower than the rate was 20 years ago. So check it out at FantasyGuru.com. But today we are here to discuss free agency. It's been pretty crazy. So we'll go around the league with our guy, Greg Cosell, and we welcome him in now. And I believe, Greg, this is your 10th season contributing to FantasyGuru.com. So we're very happy about that. And how are you otherwise?
John, I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to another great season. This was a kind of a fun free agency period. I'm not one of those people that speculates. I kind of wait to see where people sign, but there were certainly some interesting signings. But I'm looking forward to being back with you guys, and we'll get started today.
Yeah, absolutely. We love having you aboard. We love getting inside your brain, if you will. And one other note.
That's a bad place to be, John. That's a really bad place.
It's a shaky one, because I'll give you an example, Greg, because we listened to your spot yesterday on the radio, and you seem a little upset about the kid leaving One Direction. So all I can tell you, Greg, is the main guy from One Direction, I believe he's Harry. And the guy who's leaving, I believe he's a Jag. So he's just a guy. I think we can still be a fan of One Direction.
I feel much better now that you told me that, because it affected my ability to really work effectively yesterday.
And, you know, I'm very proud because I have a 9-year-old daughter who does not give a rat's ass about One Direction. So I think that's a very redeeming quality. Yes, yes.
Well, in my household, it's not quite that way. So I need to be on top of these pop culture events. And apparently this was a major event in pop culture yesterday.
Apparently it was. But we digress. And let's go around the league here. And let's do it by conference and division, as we always do.
I'm going to count on you, John, to give me all the names, because obviously I followed it, but I'm so draft centric right now that all the specific signings, except for the obvious big ones, are not necessarily on the tip of my tongue.
No problem. Yeah, I know all the names. I've got it all here, and I understand you're locked into the film room there studying this rookie class, which, by the way, is why we're not doing a pre-draft podcast with you now. I know you're out there talking about the draft, but we're going to wait a little while, a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, until you're a little
Yeah, we still have 5 weeks. I'm still grinding away. There's miles to go before we sleep here on the draft, John.
That is correct. Very good quote there. And by the way, your boy, Brashad Perriman, speaking of the draft, pretty sizzling 40 time. We'll get into Brashad Perriman, who, by the way, is our third receiver. We are releasing our pre-draft report, and we have him at 3 right now. But anywho, we move on here, and let's go AFC East. Let's go Buffalo Bills. Greg Roman running this offense now for Rex Ryan. They lose CJ Spiller. Obviously, they lose Kiko Alonso. They do re-sign Jerry Hughes. They bring in Percy Harvin. Matt Cassel, likely your starter, but that'll be a battle. Charles Clay and obviously LeSean McCoy. Let's start there. And Greg, I have big-time concerns with McCoy. I understand he's still an elite player, but thinking back and watching that O-line last year in Buffalo, man, I don't remember them creating much space at all for their running backs. In fact, Pro Football Focus ranked them dead last. Is that a concern to you for a LeSean McCoy, who is a guy who needs that space?
I think it is a bit of a concern because of the style of runner that LeSean McCoy is. And I think it's very difficult to change a runner's instincts. I know for a fact that Buffalo, Rex has talked about this publicly, but I also have spoken to people. They want this to be, in a sense, like the Jets in 2009. They want to run the ball. They want to be a top three, top five running team. They want to be a top three, top five defensive team. And they want their pass game to be totally complementary. So they have LeSean McCoy. Now, the key to having that kind of run game, you know, remember when the Jets had that run game, I believe that was Thomas Jones that year, if memory serves me correct.
You know, and Sean Green.
Right, and say what you want about those backs, but they're downhill backs. So yes, they get what is blocked, and they get a few more yards. The question is, can LeSean McCoy do that? It's likely that's the reason he was traded by Chip Kelly, because he didn't do that in Philadelphia. So can you change a runner's instincts? My guess to that would be no, which doesn't mean LeSean McCoy is not going to rush for 1,200 or 1,300 yards, because he has a great skill set. You know, he's extremely elusive. Just 2 years ago, John, as you recall, people were making the Barry Sanders comparison. So we're not dealing with a back that doesn't have skills. The question is, if he's not running behind a really good O-line, is he one of those backs that gets you some big runs, but also gets you a lot of small runs, which does not help you sustain offense?
And in the fantasy world, I'm a little concerned as well, because as we think back to 2014, he essentially lost his third down role and the goal line role to Chris Polk. And you've got Anthony Dixon there, still there, big dude. Fred Jackson, probably a better short yardage guy, and Fred Jackson can catch the rock. So he'll get the ball as much as possible, but that could be somewhat prohibitive as well.
Don't count Fred Jackson out here. And when I say don't count Fred Jackson out, I don't mean that he's going to get 280 carries. That's not going to happen. But Fred Jackson is one of those downhill backs who's not going to break much, but if they feel that that's a better way in given games to sustain offense, you'll see Fred Jackson get some carries.
And they love him, and they always have. I know it's a new staff, but they've always had in pass protection, very reliable. What a savvy veteran.
Good receiver.
A fan favorite. Oh, yeah. So I can't even call LeSean McCoy the third down back or the goal line back. That's problematic in the world of fantasy. But again,
I think Charles Clay is a really good signing, by the way. I've always really liked Charles Clay. You and I have talked about him over the years. He was sort of up and down with his numbers from a fantasy standpoint. You know, I guess a couple of years ago he had close to 70 catches. I know he didn't approach that last year, I don't believe. But I think he's a very good tight end, a good receiver. And I think in that kind of offense, which they'll work off run action, I think he can be very, very effective.
And Greg, when you look at how they're forming the offense here, it's all run after the catch guys. So it's Percy Harvin, it's Charles Clay, it's obviously Sammy Watkins, and that also is how they're going to be playing and with their shaky quarterback situation. Just get the ball out of the quarterback's hands and let these guys be athletes.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like we've forgotten about Sammy Watkins, and he's pretty good, by the way.
Yes. Let's move on to Miami. They do lose the aforementioned Charles Clay. Jared Odrick gone. Starks is gone. Cortland Finnegan retired. They lose Hartline, who was, I guess, lost last year. Obviously,
right.
Mike Wallace, the big loss there. They add Ndamukong Suh, Kenny Stills, Jordan Cameron. For this offense and for Ryan Tannehill, let's compare and contrast the additions of Kenny Stills and Jordan Cameron versus the losses of Mike Wallace and Charles Clay.
Well, you know, I think Jordan Cameron, if he can stay healthy, is a really good tight end. He's probably, you know, it's hard to actually compare Cameron and Clay. I think Cameron healthy gives you a lot of numbers. And I think that Tannehill improved as last year progressed. I think under his second year with Bill Lazor, he'll continue to improve. I think they view Kenny Stills as a much more consistent wideout option than Mike Wallace. But right now, the other wideout, I guess, would be Rishard Matthews. We know Jarvis Landry's going to play in the slot, and he's going to just get better and better and better. So Stills will be one starter. Is it Rishard Matthews at this point? You know, obviously, there's a lot more to still play out with the draft and cuts that come later and signings, but that's, I think, where they stand right now.
Yeah. Matthews can be a three, obviously. That's really
Matthews.
Yeah, I know. You always have.
I mean, I'm not suggesting he's going to catch 80 balls for 1,200 yards, John, but I think there's a place in the league for Matthews. And when he's played and gotten snaps, he's actually done pretty well for Miami.
Yeah, no question. And I think that, look, it's Ryan Tannehill likes to throw underneath and all that. And I think that that is kind of what Kenny Stills is more than deep threat. I think the perception is he's a deep threat, but he's not really Mike Wallace, right, Greg? I kind of like him fitting in better with Tannehill than Wallace.
Well, I think their feeling is, look, Tannehill's weakness as a passer is he's not a great deep ball thrower. And I think Wallace, ultimately, that's what Wallace does. Wallace is not a consistent short to intermediate route runner. And I think they realized that pretty quickly. And I don't think that's the way Mike Wallace wants to play. So now I think they're going to build an offense more geared toward Tannehill, short to intermediate pass game. Like I said, with Bill Lazor, they're probably going to try to play fast, just like the Eagles do. That's where Bill Lazor came from. And when you play fast like that, your pass game tends to be a lot more short to intermediate anyway. So I think that's the reason they got rid of Wallace. That's the reason they have Kenny Stills. And if you're going to play that kind of offense, the Rishard Matthews and the Jarvis Landrys are really valuable type receivers.
No question. And they should be volume type guys getting a lot of looks from Tannehill. And is it fair to say that a healthy Jordan Cameron has significantly more upside, or maybe not significantly, but more upside than a Charles Clay? Charles Clay is always kind of that hybrid kind of a guy. You line him up everywhere. I kind of like Cameron as that big, athletic, deep down the seam kind of a receiver.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, wasn't it 2 years ago he was about 80 catches, John? I mean, you know, he had the year that Gordon had the big year. Cameron had a big year that no one talked about because of Gordon. But Cameron, healthy, and again, let's hope that he is and there's no lingering effects. But I think Jordan Cameron, healthy, can be a 75-catch guy in this offense.
Totally, yeah. Top five talent at the position right now, wouldn't you say? Easily.
Without thinking through every name, I would say that he's certainly in that range.
New York Jets, they lose Percy Harvin. Obviously, Chris Johnson won't be back. They bring Bilal Powell back. They bring David Harris, the veteran linebacker, back. Obviously, they're back at corner with Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie. That's crazy. Brandon Marshall.
Defense will be fascinating, John, because this is the way Todd Bowles is high blitz. And now really three excellent man corners. He's got Cromartie and Revis, and he's got Buster Skrine now to play the slot, which is probably where he should play. And for those who didn't follow him, Buster Skrine had a very good year playing on the outside for Cleveland last year. So, Todd Bowles has what he wants defensively now in his secondary to play the way he wants to play. And now you have, of course, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, and Decker certainly better as a number two or whatever you want to call them. But I mean, you know, they actually have a few weapons now.
Totally. Yeah. And if Jace Amaro can continue to progress, that's a nice weapon there. And boy, it's like Todd Bowles and Rex Ryan. I view them as they're similar. And Rex Ryan was able to kind of mask a pretty shaky secondary last year, and Todd Bowles he's not going to have to do that, Greg. So he's going to send the house.
No. They went from having maybe one of the worst secondaries in the league last year, John, to now having literally one of the best just through free agency. I mean, it's all free agency because Revis, Cromartie and Skrine all came in free agency, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And Rex is like, what the hell? If I had these guys, I'd win 10 games last year. Move on. Go ahead.
Quick question. And I may have missed this. Is Marcus Gilchrist also a Jet?
Yes.
Did he sign?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I believe he's, I guess he's going to play a nickel or maybe safety.
Well, what he.
The safety. Yeah. I think he's safety.
He happens to be a really good player. Okay. And he's going to start just like he did in San Diego. He's going to start at safety. Now, in San Diego, he played in the slot. And so he's capable of covering receiver. That's what he did. So now you have another versatile. But this all of a sudden, and I say this because I'm basing this purely on film study, John. I'm not speculating here. They have one of the best secondaries in pro football.
Wow. Any thoughts on the other safety spot there? Calvin Pryor, Antonio Allen. I mean, maybe that could be a bit of a weak.
Well, they're going to certainly count on Pryor. He'll be used differently under Todd Bowles. He was a first-round pick. A lot of people liked him, clearly, as you know, coming out of Louisville. And a lot of people liked him. He was not a reach by the Jets. You know, most people would have taken him there. So now it's a second year. I heard from people that he didn't get it. He didn't understand what it meant to play in the NFL. Let's see if another year, maybe the light went on, but he's a talented kid.
New England Patriots, they lose Vince Wilfork, obviously Revis, Brandon Browner's gone, Shane Vereen gone. They do bring back McCourty. They also add Jabal Sheard. Let's see. Well, Travis Cadet, Scott Chandler, Brandon Gibson. I can see Brandon Gibson fitting in here as a depth guy, rotational guy. Any thoughts on Travis Cadet? Because in the fantasy world, we learned last year, we all know we can't trust a volume runner type under Bill Belichick because he'll flip the switch in a second. But last year, we kind of learned we couldn't even trust Shane Vereen, which I was shocked by. He was not the factor that I thought. I'm not sure it's a lock that Travis Cadet is the answer. They've got James White. You've got Brandon Bolden still in the mix. I guess it's more confusing than ever, this backfield now.
Yeah, although I think they see Cadet as a Vereen-type player.
Sure.
You know, he's not built the same way. But that's Sean Payton used Cadet in specific packages in New Orleans, and he was actually very effective. He didn't play a lot of snaps, as you know. But I think the feeling might be in New England that with more snaps, whether it's 25 a game or whatever the number is, that he has that kind of role. He's a very good receiver. Sean Payton used him in a variety of alignments, and I think that that's the way they'll see him in New England. And my guess is he'll play more snaps and he'll put up a little bit better numbers than he did in New England. I mean, in New Orleans.
Yeah, he was actually quietly, I believe, 17th in running back catches despite pretty limited snaps. So, yeah, he can catch the ball. Yeah, let's move on here. Nothing else going on there. Let's move over to the NFC South in Houston. They lose Andre Johnson. Brooks Reed gone. Veteran Chris Myers. You know, we didn't even get into Fitzpatrick with the Jets, but it's kind of a joke. But seriously, when Fitzpatrick is on the roster, he seems to play. So at the very least, if Geno is going to disappoint us again and be inconsistent, you've got that guy there. But the Texans lose Fitz. They did re-sign Kareem Jackson, Ryan Mallett. They also add Vince Wilfork, Brian Hoyer, who obviously is familiar with Bill O'Brien from their days in New England, and Cecil Shorts to effectively at this juncture replace Andre Johnson. But let me get your thoughts on, let's assume Jadeveon Clowney is healthy. What do you think of that front seven with Clowney, J.J. Watt, Vince Wilfork, and others? That could be pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, Clowney's a question mark, in my opinion, as an outside linebacker, which is obviously what they would expect him to play. So I think he's a question. But assuming Wilfork can play at the same level for another year, obviously you got Watt and Wilfork and on the same line. I think inside linebacker is a question. Cushing with his injuries, we don't know what he is right now. They also signed Raheem Moore to play free safety, which is actually a pretty good signing. He's a classic, you know, single high player or half field safety, so that's what he is. But when you look at their offense, it'll be a battle, I assume, between Hoyer and Mallett. Both guys very familiar with Bill O'Brien, so it won't be a long learning curve. They still have, I think, a pretty good backfield combination. And now, you know, Hopkins put up the big numbers last year. I think if you look at their depth chart right now, it looks like Cecil Shorts is probably in line to be the other starting wideout.
Yeah, no question about it. Any thoughts on Hopkins? I kind of undersold him, underrated him last year. I do think that some of the production was a function of volume, and which should be still there, and also maybe playing opposite Andre Johnson. Any thoughts on him with maybe a little bit more attention now with Andre gone? And also, are we ever going to see these tight ends? Because I think that's kind of laying in the weeds right now. Maybe a guy like CJ Fedorowicz emerging this year.
Yeah, and even Garrett Graham's not a bad tight end. You would like to see more targets, more catches, and I think they're capable of that. Hopkins, I thought, had a very good year last year. You know, he is one of those receivers, John, and I know you and I have talked about him numerous times. I mean, obviously for fantasy, he was very good last year, correct?
Yeah, he really was.
Yeah. I still can't get a feel, and I'm being totally honest, as to, you know, whether he's one of those guys that has a chance to be a top five, top six guy, or he's just a good wide receiver. And I almost feel like I need another year to watch him. There are times on film I feel like he looks really, really good, and there are other times on film I feel like he struggles. So he's a hard guy for me to have a definitive evaluation.
Well, that makes me feel good because, again, I undersold him. I was not sold last year, and he had a great year. And
oh, the numbers were terrific.
I know. I totally see what you're saying there. I also felt, look, and I want to give him credit for making some downfield plays. I just felt a little fluky element to a couple of downfield catches he made. But, you know, we do give him credit for what he did. He did have a nice year. But, again, no Andre Johnson now, Greg. So –
That is
interesting. Indianapolis Colts, they lose some guys. Nothing of note. Obviously, Reggie Wayne, we love. Hakeem Nicks, who is the question there? Trent Richardson gone. Laron Landry. They have added, obviously, the big ones, Andre Johnson and Frank Gore. Also, Trent Cole. So maybe the pass rush. I feel like they're a good pass rush away from having a decent defense. But your thoughts on Gore and Johnson? I like it. I understand it's dangerous to kind of bank on 30-plus-year-old players. But let's talk Gore because, obviously, he loves the fit. Pep Hamilton coached at Stanford with Greg Roman. It's power running. Do you see a noticeable drop-off on film with Frankie Gore? The only thing I see, Greg, is he doesn't pop off those long runs anymore.
I didn't see a drop-off, to be honest with you. And, in fact, at the end of the season, the last couple of games, I thought he looked very, very good. Now, don't forget, this offense will still probably run through Andrew Luck. So Gore's not going to get 330 carries. I don't think he'd be capable of that right now. But I think if you count on him for, 240, something like that, give or take, I think Frank Gore is still very, very effective. There's no better back in the NFL at getting through small cracks at the point of attack. The long speed is almost irrelevant. It's the most overrated element in evaluating running backs. Even at the combine, when people talk about 40 times for backs, it's a wasted conversation. I bet if you timed Frank Gore over the last 5 years in the 40, if he broke five, he'd be running fast. So, I think Gore can still be effective if his carries are in the 230 to 260 range. And again, Andre Johnson, because it's a pass offense, it'll be Johnson, Moncrief, and T.Y. Hilton with three wide. That's a pretty good group, don't you think?
Absolutely. And look, we learned last year that Andrew Luck can take advantage of his supporting cast because it was significantly better in 2014 than it was in 2013 when the cupboard was kind of bare. And lo and behold, Andrew Luck was a beast for fantasy. So I like it all a lot.
And they still can line up with two tight ends with Allen and Fleener. I mean, this is a team offensively that can line up with a lot of different personnel, a lot of different formations, and be very, very effective.
One thing about Gore, back to him, the only reason I mentioned the long runs is because that's kind of the first thing that goes. Doesn't mean Frank Gore is not effective.
Right.
He's still very effective. In fact, he can still pop off some longer runs. But, we like that.
Longer runs are relative. There's not a lot of 60-yard touchdown runs in the NFL. A long run is relative. He can still break off 18-yarders. And you know what? In the NFL, those are long runs.
Yeah, he's a guy who, give him the ball, he'll get 4-4-3-4-19. That's
right.
Kind of the deal. He'll pop
them
off.
Exactly right.
For fantasy, I think it's very interesting that he plays now with Andrew Luck because I actually asked Frank Gore 2 years ago about the lack of catches. This is a guy who did average 42 catches a year in five seasons from 06 to 2010. And his answer was, well, my quarterback's got a big arm. He likes to use it. We know that Kaepernick is still a work in progress. He's not a check down type of a guy. Luck, on the other hand, completed 130 passes to running backs in 2014. So why can't Gore catch 40 balls this year?
He could. There's no question. That's a great point, John. I did not realize that number with Luck. I did know from watching film that he did check it down, but you do the numbers like that more than I do, but that's a high number.
That's a really high number. And look, if Trent Richardson can be impactful, which he actually was before as the number two before Bradshaw went down, then wow, Frankie Gore can do some nice work. Jacksonville next, they lose Cecil Shorts for one. Red Bryant gone. Geno Hayes. They've added Odrick. They've added House from Green Bay. I'm sure a decent nickel corner at worst. Parnell.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. Right. He is a big dude.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Jeremy Parnell? I know he did very well filling in for Doug Free last year. So
that's actually one of those under the radar signings. And again, he played very well when he filled in for Doug Free, obviously as part of a really good O-line. Now that he's going to be expected to start 16 games, and that's, we'll have to wait and see, but he did play well last year. But, you know, just talking about this team now, this is pretty interesting what they're building. And, of course, it all comes back to Bortles, so we don't need to spend time on him. We know that. They're building a nice little young receiving core. The Julius Thomas signing is big. The big question for them is the running game, because they're going to need to run the ball. We know Denard Robinson had a 3 or 4 game stretch, but you're not going into a season saying he's my guy to carry 260 times. No. I think we know that Toby Gerhardt's not that guy. So in a draft that's really deep in runners, do they take a runner relatively early? I mean, they're not going to take one with what do they have, the third pick? They're not going to take one there, but they certainly could get a good back in the second round, maybe even in the third round in this draft. But I think that's critical to their offensive development.
Well, we could be pretty darn excited about this offense in a couple of months if they got someone, even, you know, your guy, T.J. Yeldon.
Or Jay Ajayi from Boise State, who I think is really, yeah, I like him a lot. You know, their O-line actually did improve a bit last year. I mean, it's not great, but it's improving. And now, you know, with Parnell, the rookie Linder last year at right guard actually had a nice year for a rookie guard. So, you know, this is a team that's laying in the weeds. We're not suggesting they're going to be, you know, a playoff team, but this team's a little better, I think, or they're building the right way. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah, we're all over this for fantasy, obviously, because we like the addition of a Julius Thomas. And but let's just quickly. I know you said not to mention Bortles. I mean, this all kind of hinges on Bortles, as you alluded to.
Absolutely.
And I know that you felt that his mechanics kind of broke down a little bit. Do you think it's to the point where you almost start from scratch again? I had thought it was great progress early on last year, but where are we at with that?
Yeah, the problem is, because of the CBA, he can't be back in Jacksonville till April. You know, he needed another crash course in his mechanics, and he's a great kid. So I'm sure that's what they'll work on. They know this. This is not profound. I'm not telling you anything that everybody doesn't know, John. But, yeah, he needs a little bit of a crash course. But they also need an offense that relies now on the run game. That's what they wanted, John, and they couldn't get that last year. That's what Blake Bortles needs at this point in his career. This is an offense that needs to go through the run game, not through him.
Yeah, so the running back that they pick up, and thought maybe for a second they'd get an impactful free agent, that was not in the cards, but as you mentioned, it's a
the
deep
most gifted
draft
back on their roster now, the most gifted back is Storm Johnson. Now, I'm not suggesting he's a true foundation back who's going to get 280 carries, but he's the most gifted back. Now, he was a rookie last year who had moments but didn't play a whole lot. I don't know how they see him as they go into this season.
Yeah, we like Storm. No question. That's, I think you're basing that off of his college tape, Greg, probably, because as you mentioned, he didn't really do all that much. But are excited. We are excited. And obviously, Julius Thomas is
I guess my point would be, and then we can move on, John. My point would be, I personally think it would be a mistake to go into this season and say, okay, Toby Gerhardt was hurt last year. Now he's healthy. He's our guy. I think that would be a mistake.
I agree, and I think people out there in Dynasty Keeper League should sell, and we've been saying this for several weeks, Denard Robinson, because, you know, with all due respect to the kid, he did a nice job. He's a complimentary rotational back, as far as I can see.
Right.
Tennessee, they lose Nate Washington, Bernard Pollard, obviously Jake Locker retires, Michael Ruse, that's a big loss. Let's start there. How disappointing was and you, as you think back, that Titan O-line last year, because not that he did anything, was Orr's gone too.
Well, you know, I think that year kind of got away from them offensively. I don't know exactly. You know, Locker showed some flashes early, and it looked like they were starting to have some success, and then, of course, he got hurt, and then it was Mettenberger, and then he got hurt. Everything about their offense will be dependent, and it's hard to talk about it right now. I would assume it's hard for you, will be dependent on what they do with the number two pick. Because if they draft a quarterback, you can say what you want about Zach Mettenberger. If they draft a quarterback at number two, that guy's playing. So if they don't draft a quarterback at number two, it's Mettenberger. So, you know, but it's how do we know this? Now, personally, I wouldn't draft a quarterback at two, but you know, I don't know what they're going to do. Their O-line, I think Taylor Lewan, in the games he played before he got hurt, I thought played for the most part well, and I think they're comfortable with him as their left tackle. I think they'll look for some O-line help in this draft. It's a deep O-line draft. You know, I think their receiving core, Justin Hunter, is now going into his third year. He has ability, and he got hurt last year, but he hasn't really shown enough yet to say, hey, let's count on Justin Hunter. Wouldn't you agree?
No. Yeah, I totally agree. Totally. Yeah, I think Kendall Wright could catch 100 balls this year if he plays all 16 games.
They did sign Harry Douglas, who is ideally suited for the slot, as is Kendall Wright. But we also know that Harry Douglas 2 years ago, when the Falcons had all those injuries, at receiver caught over 80 balls, predominantly lining up wide. So he is capable of doing that.
Kind of a replacement for Nate Washington, a veteran presence.
Right.
It doesn't run like Washington, but... Moving on here, the Titan defense is pretty interesting, but we'll move on. I know they had Arakpo, and that's interesting, and Parrish Cox.
Very
but
interesting.
We
got to
move. Yeah. We'll move on. We'll do that another day. AFC North, Baltimore Ravens, Mark Trestman running this offense. I believe he's going to basically run Kubiak's system. They lose Haloti Ngata, which was a surprise, obviously. Owen Daniels and Torrey Smith. The cupboard is quite bare at wide receiver, Greg. I'm a little concerned about that overall, but they do bring back Justin Forsett, and he's a guy that we don't really look at the age in terms of that number because of the wear and tear. He was terrific last year, Forsett.
Yeah, and he's a pure zone runner, and that's what they ran, and that's why they'll do the same thing. You don't sign Justin Forsett to switch your run game to a power gap scheme run game. You're going to run zone. You're right about the cupboard at wide receiver. It's a deep wide receiver draft. You have to believe somewhere within the first four rounds they're taking one or two wideouts. That would seem to make sense. But other than that, you know, I think offensively their O-line is pretty darn good. It played well last year. Yeah, really. I agree with you. And I think defensively they're not a thing. You know, look, he's been a great player. He's getting older. Brandon Williams really played well for them last year. In some ways, to me, the bigger loss is Pernell McPhee.
Yes. Yeah. He's an underrated player there as well. Moving on to Cincinnati, pretty quiet here, nothing of note. Jermaine Gresham won't be back. Terrence Newman, who's somehow hung in there and played fairly well, he likely won't be back. And they don't really add all that much, although they do get back Michael Johnson and A.J. Hawk. In fact, I think we can almost skip them. But give me a second on Tyler Eifert, who'll presumably take over.
Exactly the name I was going to mention, John. I'm glad you did. That's the right name, because I think they feel with Jeremy Hill, with Giovanni Bernard, they've got the backfield they want, okay? They even got some snaps out of Rex Burkhead late in the season, and he looked like he could be, you know, a contributor for 10, 12 snaps a game. I think the loss of Eifert last year was critical to them, because that's the kind of player Andy Dalton needs. He needs a tight end. And Gresham has never been as consistent, I think, as the team would have liked. And the hope now is Eifert becomes that guy. So, again, I can't sit here and give you numbers. You know, that's your job. So I don't have any brilliant insight on what he's going to do numbers-wise, but I think he's a critical player that will determine the relative success or failure of this offense.
I don't think he's going to be fed the rock. I think he'll probably max out at like 50 catches, but he can be very impactful if he gets the red zone love, because we know that he's could, in theory, could be a really good red zone threat for Andy Dalton.
Yeah, and just one final thought. I would expect their defense to be much better with Burfict back. Burfict is a critical player in that defense, and I think Michael Johnson, who was a very good player for them, and now he's back, and it's the same scheme, so he knows it.
Yeah, and final thought on Eifert, when I say could be a really good red zone threat, and that's because, Greg, the kid plays like a wide receiver, right? I mean, you could use him on stage and things like that.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Cleveland. John DeFilippo taking over for Kyle Shanahan running the offense here. They lose a lot of players. Hoyer, Cameron, the aforementioned Screen, Jabal Sheard, Miles Austin, who actually wasn't that bad last year, but he's on the back end there. Tyre Rubin. Let's see. They add Randy Starks, Hardline, Josh McCown, and obviously Dwayne Bowe. And not a good receiving core, not a good quarterback situation. Obviously, Greg, they're going to rely heavily on the run behind that very good O-line that'll get their starting center back.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about this team offensively, to be honest with you, John.
I know.
It's the quarterback situation is up in the air. The receiver situation would be Bowe and Hartline right now. They need receivers. Whether they believe so or not, they need receivers. And they're going to try to run the football. I mean, it's pretty simple right now, and they're going to try to win with defense.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, I hear you. I mean,
yeah, I don't know what else to say. There's too much speculation there.
Yeah, no doubt. Pittsburgh, kind of a quiet offseason other than losing some guys. Jason Worldis. Brett Kiesel, these guys are out of the Taylor as well. They do add D'Angelo Williams, and we know that Le'Veon Bell could be suspended a couple of games early on in the year.
Yep.
I like that one, Greg. That's a solid backup plan.
It is. You know, they've got a couple of holes they've got to fill here, I think. I think they need a pass rush linebacker, and I think they need to look at the corner position right now.
Yeah,
You know, those are two positions I would think, and we know about Pittsburgh and Kevin Colbert in the draft. I think they have to look at those positions pretty significantly. You know, it's a 3-4 defense, and they're staying with it because Butler is the new coordinator, and he's been there for years, so they're not switching. So they need to rush the quarterback with linebackers right now, and they don't have those guys. And
no
the
Dick
corner
LeBeau,
position.
Too.
What's that?
And no Dick LeBeau is a little surprising.
No. And they need corners. So this is a team that has some defense. You know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team over the years, we always talk defense. They have some glaring defensive holes right now.
Hey, we like it for fantasy, though, because that O-line is, dare I say, top 10 in the NFL. And Le'Veon Bell is arguably the best back right now in the NFL. And Martavis Bryant is really intriguing. He could start. We love Antonio Brown, Big Ben. So we're fine with it in the fantasy world, Greg. In fact, we kind of hope the defense sucks. So Big Ben has to throw it 40 times a game. But we move
there
on.
There you go. There you go.
We move on to the AFC West in Denver and Gary Kubiak coming in here. And you know, obviously they're going to run what Peyton Manning is comfortable with, but talk about the difference. I think I kind of narrow the difference. Well, two things. Number one, Kubiak, the record speaks for itself. Peyton Manning is going to get more help from his running game than he's had in quite some time.
Without question. And
they do change a little in terms of their tight end in Julius Thomas, a movable guy. You line him up outside. He's a downfield guy. Completely different story, really, with Owen Daniels, who's just a short to intermediate kind of a crossing route guy. But obviously, he knows Kubiak very well. So if he's healthy, I'm sure he'll be productive.
Yeah, I mean, I think this offense, out of necessity, and again, you know, when you talk about great players like Peyton Manning, you know, the reality is he's not what he was. Now, is he still the smartest guy in the room? He is. But they can't run that same offense where they're throwing it and he drops back as often. They just can't. I don't think he's quite capable of that anymore, and I think they know that. They're going to run the ball. You know, Virgil Green is a very good blocker for a tight end. You'll see a lot of two tight end sets, which, by the way, the Ravens did a lot of last year. You know, so that's what you're going to see, and it's going to be a different-looking offense.
Virgil Green, as you mentioned, we know Owen Daniels. I worry about his availability. I feel like, you know, game to game, I'm just always concerned. Virgil Green is a pretty athletic guy. Any thoughts? I know you probably don't have a ton of tape on him running routes and the like, but yeah,
I have a lot of thoughts because he played with Colin Kaepernick in Nevada, and I actually thought he was pretty athletic. And you know, obviously he's not as athletic as Julius Thomas, so he wasn't going to be the starting tight end in Denver. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, he's a sleeper, he's going to catch 80 balls. That's not going to happen. But I think he's a little more than just a good blocker.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned him, and he's on the radar. And real quick, I would imagine, although you seem to be a little bit not as down on Monty Ball as others, but Greg, it's kind of hard to argue the fact that, or argue against the notion that CJ Anderson was a more effective and, dare I say, dynamic player than a Monty Ball. Who would you give the edge to? That said, also, Ball, this is a great scheme for Ball, I would think.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a nice little battle in training camp here with Ball, Anderson, and Hillman, because all those guys bring certain elements to the table, John. And now with a new coach bringing in a predominant zone scheme, I think it's going to play out in training camp. I'd be hard-pressed here on March 26th to sit here and tell you which back's going to get 280 carries. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I'd be hard-pressed to give you a definitive answer to that question.
Well, I would lean toward Anderson at this juncture just because he did so well and he was a little bit more, well, a lot more laterally elusive. I was also disappointed in Monty Ball. Now, maybe he was still hurt in the year, early in the year. I just thought he didn't really bring it. He didn't run assertively. I felt like he, you know, I'm not studying the tape like you are. I thought he kind of left some yards on the field. So I don't know. I don't know. I think in this scheme, though, he could do very well. So the bottom line is they're going to run the crap out of the ball and effectively. And they did lose some guys on the O-line, though. So we'll see about that. Let's move on to Kansas City. They lose Rodney Hudson, their starting center. They lose Dwayne Bowe, of course. But they do retain Justin Houston. Jason Avant sticks around. Jeremy Maclin is I guess, the big add. And, again, we can't expect Philadelphia Eagle numbers from Jeremy Maclin, correct? I mean, he's a guy that needs to get downfield looks to make the big plays.
I guess what we're going to find out is what Andy Reid thinks of Alex Smith, because ultimately they played very conservatively. Alex Smith did not really push the ball down the field. Now, he's not a big-armed guy, but you don't have to be a big-armed guy to throw the ball at the intermediate levels. They have a Maclin. The sleeper to me on this receiving core is a kid named Albert Wilson, who got snaps last year toward the end of the season. I'm sure you know who he is.
I asked John Dorsey, the GM, about him at the combine. He likes him.
Oh, okay. I mean, I liked him a lot. He played in college for a team. I forget. It might have been Georgia State. One of those schools. They didn't win a game his last year in college. And I liked him coming out. I thought he was a lowercase Brandon Cooks kind of receiver. And he had some moments last year. And it would not surprise me with Maclin on one side if Wilson ends up getting a lot of snaps on the other side.
Yeah, and they do have some talent here in terms of, obviously, Charles, DeAnthony Thomas, who is clearly going to be a factor, Niall Davis, and obviously the big one is Mr. Travis Kelce. I think everyone already in the fantasy world is expecting a step up from Kelce, and if you're wondering, he will be ranked in our top five at tight end, maybe even top four, I mean, or maybe three. So we may even rank him over Julius Thomas, but we move on. And we talk Oakland Raiders, Jack Del Rio taking over there, Bill Musgrave. They lose the kid Stephon Wisniewski at center. Obviously, Darren McFadden, Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, negligible losses most likely. They do add Rodney Hudson, though, so they get a good center. Trent Richardson, Roy Helu. They have not yet, though, Greg, added a number one wide receiver. And I would think offensively, and at least skill-wise, that's needed. So we'll talk draft later, but Greg, I fully expect them to use their first pick on a wideout like Amari Cooper out of Alabama.
Well, I had a nice chat at the Super Bowl on Radio Row with your buddy Latavius Murray.
I love Latavius. Well, you know, he's my buddy, but I liked him very early, and you confirmed it. So that's why I've been pushing Latavius for a while.
He's pretty excited about this season. So, and I tell you what, he looks good in person. He looks the part, John. I'd never met him. You know, I saw him at the Super Bowl because he was there with his agent. We were both walking around and got a chance to talk to him. And, you know, humble kid, ready to work. You know, he's pretty excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, and he can pass protect very well. I mean, that's such an advantage for a big dude like that. Now, they do add Roy Helu, so that cuts into the point per catch love that he's going to get in the fantasy world. But, I mean, Jack Del Rio likes him a lot as well. I almost feel – now, the only concern I have with Latavius is he's a little bit of an upright runner, and can he stay on the field if he's getting the rock a lot? But, Greg, the O-line's not that bad here. If Latavius Murray is healthy – and the offense is just decent, I don't see this kid failing. I just don't see it because he can fall forward for 4 yards on every carry almost because he's so big.
Right.
And then he could pop off the long runs.
No, and they, you know, obviously they lost Wisniewski, but that was by design. I know the new coaching staff did not love him, so they signed Rodney Hudson instead, and he'll play center.
It's an upgrade too, Greg, I think.
They think it is.
Yeah. Okay, moving on here, San Diego. They lose Gilchrist, as we mentioned, Sharice Wright, Eddie Royal. It's a pretty big loss. No Ryan Matthews. So they're a little thin there at the skill positions. They do re-up with King Dunlap and Brandon Flowers. They do bring in Orlando Franklin as well. And Stevie Johnson, who can play the slot, as you know, Greg. So is there a drop-off from Eddie Royal to Stevie Johnson? I think no, because I think Stevie Johnson may be a little bit more versatile than Eddie Royal.
Yeah, I think they're different. Did they also sign Jacoby Jones?
Yes, they did. Yes. So he's like their fourth, fifth receiver and the return man.
And say what you want about Jacoby Jones, but doesn't it seem like he always makes 4 or 5 plays a year that are just really big plays as a receiver?
Splash plays, downfield throws. He can track the deep ball pretty well.
Yeah. So I think they're okay at receiver. The question will be their run game.
Yeah, and that's going to have to be addressed in the draft because it certainly can't be Brandon Oliver and Danny Woodhead, Greg.
No, Woodhead fills a role, and he's terrific in that role, but he's not your quote-unquote feature back.
Yeah, Donald Brown there as well, but I'm sure
another guy who's kind of like Woodhead in some ways.
Yep. Let's move over to the NFC East. We'll start in Dallas, and they lose DeMarco Murray. They lose Melton. They lose Parnell, some depth on the O-line. Dwayne Harris, I know you always like. They lose a couple linebackers, Durant and Bruce Carter, who played a lot for them last year. So they're in transition here, but do you think their position is, we love DeMarco, he's great, but that workload, it's pretty significant. But the bottom line is, they probably feel like they can almost run anyone behind this whole line.
You know, John, I'm not sure anyone can run 392 times for 1,845 yards. And I'm not suggesting DeMarco Murray's Jim Brown, but this team ran through DeMarco Murray last year, not just the offense, this team. So I just think by necessity, this offense and therefore this team is going to look different because no one is going to do what DeMarco Murray did last year.
So that's a great point. Yeah. And they needed to lean on him. I felt because Romo was, he was just shaky early on. We were worried about the back and he seems like a guy that you can't ask to throw 35, 40 times every week. So it's going to be very critical for them to hit on their, I assume, draft pick at running back, because we're certainly not relying on Darren McFadden, although he could actually do well behind this O-line, even in his own scheme.
We'll see about that, but he's certainly not going to do what Murray did. He won't come close to that. No. So they're going to be, to me, one of the most intriguing teams to watch because of the way they played last year. Will not be the way they'll play this year. It can't be. It won't happen that way, John.
Yeah, Yeah, they do re-sign Doug Free at least, so the O-line is intact, although they lose Parnell. But yeah, that's you're right. I mean, that's very, very interesting. And obviously Greg Hardy on defense is that's going to be a move that's going to obviously significantly help their pass rush. Let's head on over to Philadelphia, and obviously it's the story of the offseason, the loss of LeSean McCoy, the trading of Nick Foles, the loss of Jeremy Maclin. Obviously, Greg, they're going to run the crap out of the football, and Chip feels much better about DeMarco Murray and Ryan Williams, high-end talent, stick your foot in the ground, hit it downhill. They're going to run the ball a lot. But your thoughts on Sam Bradford? He's a polarizing guy.
Well, go ahead. Let's just say this. First of all, I heard Chip at the owner's meeting say that he wants to get Darren Sproles a lot more snaps too. So I don't know. Chip must truly believe that he's going to run 90 plays, because I don't know how you give a lot of snaps to Murray, Matthews, and Sproles.
Joking around on Twitter. I'm like, well, maybe Bradford will stay healthy this year, attempting 11 passes a game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in an ideal world, he certainly wants to run 80-plus plays, and then we'll see how that works. But Bradford, to me, is he throws it really well. He's always been a great thrower. But to me, watching him over the years, he's taken a lot of hits. To me, he's become a little gun-shy. Now, I think Chip feels in his offense, he's going to minimize the hits and the pressure because of the tempo and the quick throws, and he could well be right. I think Sam Bradford's lost a little bit of his accuracy for the reason I just mentioned. Maybe Chip believes, and again, he could be right, that accuracy will come back because he'll be a much more comfortable player, because that was his calling card. When Sam Bradford came out of Oklahoma, his calling card was a great arm and pinpoint accuracy. And totally. He sort of lost that with the Rams for various reasons. Chip, I'm sure, believes in his offense, he can get that back.
We're hesitant to spend a lot of time breaking it down because, you know, in our office, Greg, we're like, you know what? Until Marcus Mariota is on another roster, we're not going to rule that possibility out. But a couple other thoughts on Bradford. Let's assume he's healthy. He gets the confidence back. He knows he's going to be on a team that's got two really good running backs plus Sproles and a good O-line, specifically on the bookend. And right. in this scheme, guys get open. I mean, that's it. They're open. They're wide open.
You know, and that's why I think the receiving thing to Chip is not as big a deal. You know, conventional wisdom tells you that a trio of Josh Huff, Jordan Matthews, and Riley Cooper doesn't get it done in the NFL. I guess we'll find out when the draft comes, but there's a part of me that believes that Chip doesn't view that as a problem.
Yeah. But again, being like the ultimate optimist on Bradford, if he's healthy and he plays behind this O-line with these running backs and in this scheme, you can totally see why they went out and acquired him, because he could be outstanding. Now, again, we've made excuses for him. He has not reacted well to pressure, as you said. He's been skittish, and the accuracy has fallen off. But if he can, at his best, Sam Bradford is a good fit here.
Without question. And he ran that high-tempo offense his Heisman year at Oklahoma when they averaged 82 plays a game.
Yep. Any thoughts on Josh Huff? There's some talk of maybe.
You know, I like Josh Huff. You know, I personally thought Josh Huff was a slot guy in the NFL, but they see him, I think, as an outside guy, and who's to say? But I think they have two guys, in my view, who are slot guys in Huff and Matthews. But you hit it right on the head. This offense gets people open, so maybe those delineations are not as significant in Chip Kelly's offense.
And Bradford, likely viewed as a better trigger man than either Nick Foles or Mark Sanchez, who's a backup plan. But again, until Marcus Mariota is on another roster, I mean, I don't want to waste, you know, write a novel about Sam Bradford on the Eagles. New York Giants, not a ton going on here. Steve Spagnuolo, though, he is back. They bring back Jason Pierre-Paul, which is good for them. They do add, though, Shane Vereen and Dwayne Harris. I would imagine Harris could be something of an insurance policy on Victor Cruz if he has issues returning. Yeah, I thought Jarrell Jernigan was pretty good. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I always liked Dwayne Harris, and I thought he'd be more utilized as a receiver. When he was, he actually performed. So we'll see with the Giants. I mean, we don't know what Victor Cruz's situation is at this point. I think the Vereen signing is really a good signing. I think they needed that kind of player.
I do, too, because while we love Rashad Jennings and pass pro, and he's a reliable guy, you check it down to him, he's going to usually get you 4 yards. With Shane Vereen, you have a much more versatile receiver out of the backfield and a big play threat. He's more dynamic. So in year two of Ben McAdoo's offense, they could be cooking with some gas here, Greg. If Cruz is okay with Beckham, Reuben Randall, Larry Donnell, now Shane Vereen and Eli Manning, pretty good stuff here offensively.
The key will be the O-line. That's the absolute key to this.
No doubt. That has been a rebuilding process for seemingly 5 years. Washington Redskins, they lose Arakpo, Ryan Clark, so some veterans there. No more Helu. Niles Paul signed to a big deal. Steven Paya will help them, as well as Terrence Knighton. You know, they were pretty good against the run last year.
Yeah.
And now they got Pot Roast, Ricky Jean Francois, Steven Paya. So I guess that run defense is going to be pretty good in Washington.
Yeah, they've added some interesting players here. Obviously, Ryan Kerrigan is one outside linebacker. They played with Trent Murphy last year once Arakpo got hurt, but he's not a pass rusher, so they kind of need another pass rusher. But they signed Culliver, so you could argue they've got some depth now at corner with D'Angelo Hall, Culliver, Breland, the rookie last year, Amerson. They've got some depth. So, you know, again, we can discuss the Redskins all day long. It's going to come back to their quarterback situation. And obviously RG3 is going to get the first shot, and we'll see if there's development as an NFL quarterback. And the people who continue to say, you know, let him do what he does, they don't understand the NFL quarterback position. You know, we've had this conversation, you and I, 1,000 times.
Yep. Let's move on here to the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons. I like the match of Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan. Not that Matt Ryan needs a great mentor or anything, but I feel like Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback-oriented guy, so I did kind of like that. They've lost a ton of players. I don't know if any of them are really worrisome. Guys like Gabe Kareemi, Justin Blaylock. They do lose Harry Douglas, Steven Jackson, Jacquizz Rodgers. Sean Witherspoon has been a disappointment. They had Brooks Reed, Justin Durant. Not a ton going on here offensively. Leonard Hankerson, Jacob Tammy, Tony Moiaki. Between Moiaki, Tammy, and Levine Toliolo, I don't know if they have an impactful tight end yet.
You know, Moiaki's always been an interesting player. He's moved around so much now, so you have to call him a question mark, but he's got some talent. To me, the two questions for this team are Devontae Freeman now, looks like he's
for now
the guy who's the back, yes, for now. And then their defense, which was really poor last year. Can it be better this year? You know, they signed Claiborne. They signed Brooks Reed. You mentioned Durant. They're going to probably move Desmond Southward, a rookie last year, into a starting spot at safety. We'll see. He might even get a shot at corner because Dan Quinn's there and he likes big corners. And Southward played some corner in college and he's a big kid. So their defense is going to look different. And their defense has to be better.
You and I talked about Freeman at the combine. You made a point about one back. I wasn't sure who it was, a rookie. And you said that he's tough and physical, but is he
strong and powerful?
Powerful. And to me, the first name that came to my mind was Devonta Freeman, Greg.
Yeah, there's a difference. You know, the classic difference goes back a number of years when Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown were in the same draft, and Cadillac Williams ran so hard, and everybody loved him, but he was not strong and powerful, and he kept getting hurt, and he only played a few years, and Ronnie Brown hung around, and he was never a feature back, but it just pointed the difference. There's a difference, and it's you have to watch tape to see it and watch a lot of runs, but there's a difference between guys who just run hard, and a lot of guys run hard, and that's great. Yeah. But they don't move anything. The guys who are strong and powerful, you have to be that to be a true feature back to some degree.
Do you have any thoughts on Freeman in terms of, he's not a huge guy?
No, I like him though. I like the way he runs. I think this is an offense that's probably still going to work through Matt Ryan, so it might be okay for this offense.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Shanahan did get a big year out of like Steve Slayton way back in Houston.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that's possible. I think that's possible.
Yep. Okay. Moving on here to Carolina. Not a ton going on here at all. They lose D'Angelo Williams, obviously Greg Hardy. Bell at tackle stinks, so we don't care about him. They do add Michael Orr, who also stinks. So I don't think we
What they're really counting on for your fantasy purposes, John, is Jonathan Stewart being healthy, because he had a stretch toward the end of last season where he looked like Jonathan Stewart. He's just never been able to play 16 games. But if he can do that, he's a very talented back. And I think they've built their offense now around the run with all those option elements, because Cam, after 4 years, I think we all know what he is as a passer. He's week to week. So you have to build your offense around all these run concepts. And Stewart was terrific down the stretch, as you well know.
And they're also actually going to look at a running back in the draft, you know? So
I would think they would look at a running back in the draft for sure, because I think they know what they are offensively.
Let's move on here, Greg. And I lost my place. We are up to... Let's see, New Orleans, and this is a fascinating situation here with Jimmy Graham gone, and Kenny Stills gone, and they add C.J. Spiller. So let's get into C.J. Spiller, because they do re-sign Mark Ingram, and I guess we're all saying or thinking, not you, but at least in our offices, that they're clearly trending toward being more of a run-based team, but. You know, Sean Payton kind of poo-pooed that a little bit. They're still going to throw the football plenty. But I do like how they brought in Mark Ingram, and I do re-signed him. And I love C.J. Spiller for this offense. Your thoughts on Spiller?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned the run team, and I know Sean Payton's certainly not going to tell you what they're going to do now at a press conference at the owners' meetings, but it seems, look, they know Drew Brees is not exactly the same guy as he was. So I'm not sure the offense can be what it was, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. So now you did re-sign Mark Ingram, coming off his best year, coming off a year in which for 5, 6 games in a row, they clearly, the run was the foundation. They added Spiller, who is, you know, a back that has great running skill and receiving ability and gives you that element. Certainly, they don't have Graham, so you don't have that tight end right now. Although they'll be fine with the way they want to run offense with what they'll put out there. So this offense could change a little bit.
That's Josh Hill right now is kind of the guy.
And I guess, is Watson still back? I guess Benjamin Watson is still back as well.
Yeah, he is. It's not a great tight end class, so we're thinking right now that Josh Hill is going to be kind of the guy there. And I know Sean Payton really likes him. He's a special teams guy. Led them in special teams tackling, and he's very consistent. He's always, you know, kind of does everything right. Any confidence? Where's your confidence level in Sean Payton's ability to utilize C.J. Spiller? Because he's a unique player, and other than Chant Gailey in 2012, he's not been used well.
Great confidence. Great confidence. I think, assuming he's healthy, I think C.J. Spiller, and again, he's not going to rush for 1,400 yards. He's not going to be used that way. But I think that he'll be a really effective part of this offense. And just one name to keep in mind, John, and it's probably a name you haven't thought about at all, but I had a chance to talk to Marcus Colston, who's now part owner of the Philadelphia Soul with Ron Jaworski.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to talk to Marcus Colston, and he said that one guy that he believes, and he's there, that he thinks could become a factor in their offense is Brandon Coleman, the second-year receiver from Rutgers, and Sean Payton does have a way of using guys, you know, again, we're not suggesting big numbers, but, you know, Sean, you know, this kid's almost like a hybrid wide receiver tight end.
He's huge, a little slow, but yeah, and he—I believe he's stuck.
Well, he's slow for a wideout. I mean, if he's used as a hybrid, he's not slow.
There you go. That's a good name. That's a really good one. I like that. And of course, I love all this for Brandon Cooks. I mean, obviously, Drew Brees completes 440 passes a year. Someone's got to catch a damn ball. They lost a lot of receiving threats, and Cook should get as much as he can possibly handle. Moving on here to the next team here, Tampa Bay. They lose Michael Johnson, Josh McCown, Anthony Collins, major bust at left tackle, Mason Foster, Claiborne. So Lovie Smith continues to kind of put his stamp on this team. They add Bruce Carter.
They need all line help. They need all. I mean, look, they're going to draft a quarterback, so, you know, we can't figure out how that's going to play out, but whoever they draft is going to start. It's the number one pick in the draft. That's life in the NFL. But they need O-line help. I mean, I can tell you right now, if it's Jameis Winston and it's this O-line that is presently on the depth chart, Jameis Winston is going to have some issues now.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be Jameis Winston, I think, Greg. It's clearly trending that way. There's no question about it. That was the buzz at the combine, and it's actually gotten a little stronger based on some of the comments.
I mean, he's a deliberate player, and behind this O-line, it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress, to be kind.
Yeah. We'll get into that as we move forward. Chicago Bears, as we go to the NFC North, Adam Gase taken over for Mark Trestman. Vic Fangio, good hire there on the defensive side. And they were terrible defensively the last couple of years.
And Vic mentioned that to me when I talked to him at the combine. I don't think I need to say any more. I think everybody knew that.
Yeah. They lose Brandon Marshall, Stephen Paya gone, Briggs gone, Tillman gone, a lot of veterans gone, DJ Williams gone. They do bring back Jimmy Clausen, though, Greg, so it's all good in Chicago. No, I'm just kidding there. But I guess the only guy they're going to try and rebuild, Jay Cutler with his confidence. You do still have Alshon Jeffery and Martellus Bennett. I kind of do like
offense. It's going to be a different offense, John. I mean, it's John Fox. This is going to be the Carolina Panthers when he got to Carolina. He's going to run the ball. They're going to try to play good defense, and the defense is a question. We know that. But this is going to be the approach. How it ends up being executed, that's another question. But they're going to try to run the ball. You know, they've got Forte. Kadeem Carey would be a nice second back. They're not going to put this offense in the hands of Jay Cutler. They're going to try to run the ball and see where their defense, you know, how they can play. This is going to be a totally different looking Bears team.
Yeah. I like the addition of Royal as a little bit of a security type of blanket for Cutler. I think it throws a monkey wrench a little bit into the Marcus Wilson plan. I know you like Wilson. I get it. The kid's tall and he can run. I just still feel like he's kind of raw, but any thoughts from what you saw on Marcus Wilson?
Well, we're going to find out, because right now their three wideouts are Wilson, Jeffery, and Royal. So, you know, unless Wilson is terrible this offseason, he's going to get snaps, John. So we're going to find out. Now, they're not going to drop back 40 times a game unless they're losing to the point where they have to do that. But that will not be the plan going in.
How easy do you think it will be for them to get an upgrade? I hate to throw them under the bus, but we're not Kadeem Carey guys, but at fantasyguru.com. But do you think it'll be easy for them to get a better number two back in this draft than Kadeem Carey?
I don't think Carey's a problem as a number two back. I didn't see him coming out of Arizona as a starter, but I don't think he's a problem as a number two back. I mean, in an ideal world, you're looking for Forte to be the bell cow. And if Carey carries the ball seven times a game, I think you're cool with that. He can do that.
Yeah, that he can. I'm just a little concerned because Forte, boy, he's getting up there now with the touches and the workload. But no drop off there either, right? It's kind of like Frank Gore.
There's no reason to believe right now that Matt Forte is a problem at all. He's a good player.
Yeah. I know. These guys are throwbacks, Greg. You know, back in the day, these running backs were still good at 30. You know, John Riggins ran for more yards in his 30s than his 20s. I mean, he took a year off, but yeah. Let's move on to Detroit. Obviously, they lose Sue and Fairley, CJ Mosley as well. Right there. Obviously, they do add Haloti Ngata, but how much of their success on defense was all about Sue and Fairley? And is this a big time drop off with Ngata stepping in for these two guys?
You know, I think, look, Sue's a great player. He's a great player. Not in his prime, a great player. Can not do what Sue does right now. Probably not quite at the same level. So then, you know, the other D-tackle position, they've got to try to fill that. Maybe they look in the draft. But they still have a pretty good group on the outside. I think Ziggy Ansah is going to be a really good player. We'll see. I mean, you know, these are the kinds of changes teams make. It's hard to know. You know, offensively, I'm really anxious to see where they go offensively in Joe Lombardi's second year with Matthew Stafford. Because, as everybody knows, he came from the Saints. I'm anxious to see what this all means for Eric Ebron, who was clearly drafted because of the Saints' concepts, you know, the movement tight end. You know, I don't want to sit here and say, well, they expected him to be Jimmy Graham, but I mean, he to be deployed in that manner. So Eric Ebron, to me, and I don't know how you have him rated this year, John, but I think he's a guy that really has to have that big jump from his rookie year to his second year, as a lot of players do.
100%. We're all over it. I put in an article about 7 weeks ago for those in keeper leagues where you keep players year to year. You got to acquire this guy now. The time to get him is now. Now, it's still right. A projection. It's still a projection, though, because he was swimming last year. Understandable. It's a real tough position, tight end. I think it's probably the second hardest offensive position to learn other than quarterback as a rookie. So you almost want to give him a pass, but he did drop some balls as well. He's going to be the third option in the passing attack, and it's all there for him. You've got an elite talent in terms of an arm talent in Stafford, obviously, and playing with Calvin and Tate just seems like an ideal environment and in this offense for a move athletic seam tight end like Eric Ebron. But he's got to do it, Greg, you know?
And I don't know if we... I think Stafford has to get better too, John. And when I say better, I think he has to become more refined, more precise, more disciplined. We know about the big arm. That's a given, okay? There's throws he makes. We're always going to say, wow, that's Stafford, okay? He's super talented. But he has to become a more disciplined, more precise player in the context of this offense.
Green Bay Packers lose some depth at corner. They've had really nice depth, but no longer unless they can reload. Tremont Williams, Devon House gone, A.J. Hawk gone, Brad Jones gone. These are mostly negligible, I believe. Nothing very significant like it would have been had they lost Brian Bulaga or Randall Cobb. So not much to say here, but, you know, I thought obviously the Cobb re-signing was huge, but I was really optimistic when they re-signed Bulaga because, Greg, it's a young offensive line that really, I think it's a top five O-line.
Well, the offense is the same as last year. It's all back. So there's nothing to say about their offense, John. We know about that. And, you know, their defense is, they lost some players. I think where it comes down to is now depth in the secondary because they lost their depth. But other than that, it's relatively the same defense as well.
Let's go to Minnesota. They lose Greg Jennings. Matt Castle gone. They lose some guys on the O-line. Charles Johnson. I think he can sustain that loss and be okay. Felton will be interesting, though, at fullback. But obviously, it's all about Mike Wallace. And we'll see how the Adrian Peterson drama plays out. But, Greg, let's assume for now that Peterson's back. They used their first pick on an offensive lineman, which I think is a good chance of that happening. How about this offense year two under Norv with Wallace? I think that Teddy Bridgewater has a better chance of getting him the ball down the field than Tannehill. Teddy's was pretty good throwing it down the field at the end of the year. As you know, this is a good system in terms of Norv Turner getting a lot out of X receivers and vertical threats. Hopefully Kyle Rudolph is healthy. I kind of like Jarius Wright as a slot receiver. I think he's got good speed. And Charles Johnson was something of a revelation.
Yep.
This could really look good, Greg, in 2015.
Well, I think the run game becomes critical because I think Bridgewater is a quarterback that needs a run game. And if they are able to have that and can work off that, and Norv's always had his best success when he's worked off that, because his pass game is really good when the run game is the foundation. So it will present opportunities. So that's critical. And it really, to me, that's where it starts and in some way ends. Bridgewater is, he had a good rookie year. He's somewhat limited, but if they have the run game, it enhances what he can do.
Great stuff there. Let's move on. Final division. We'll barrel through the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals. And I'm going to surprise you a little bit because I'm very excited about Arizona. And it has nothing to do specifically with their skill players, Greg. It's their offensive line. Because let's take a look here. You got Jared Veldheer, who did well last year on the left side. Bobby Massey was decent at worst. And now you add A.Q. Shipley at center, and Mike Iupati. Greg, if Jonathan Cooper, the former number one pick, can just, be serviceable, Greg, this line could be outstanding this year.
Yeah, well, the Iupati signing is big, and Cooper is critical here because now he's going into his third year, John. And this kid, when he came out, everybody thought that this kid had a chance to be really, really good. I can't speak to the reason why he's not, but he's hardly played. He got beaten out last year by Ted Larson. So Cooper is basically, his career is at the crossroads. So if Cooper can play at the level many of us expected with the Iupati at the other guard position, and particularly with Carson Palmer back, then, you have a very interesting offensive situation. This could be a very good offense.
Yeah, and we'll see how they look in a couple of months because Bruce Arians wants to get a bigger back, and he can do that in the draft. Team him with Andre Ellington, and you bring back Larry Fitzgerald, and they're looking pretty strong there, other than maybe tight end, and obviously it all also hinges on Carson Palmer. St. Louis Rams, Frank Cignetti taking over for Schottenheimer, which I guess is a good thing. I mean, let's be honest here, but speaking of offensive lines, Greg, they're hurting right now on the offensive line. They need to get Barksdale back, I guess. Wells is gone, Davin Joseph, Jake Long. I mean, your thoughts on Nick Foles playing behind an O-line that could be quite bad.
Yeah, and they want to run the ball. I mean, I think this is a team, it's I hate to use the term old school because more and more teams are going to be playing like this and it's not going to be old school anymore. But this is going to be a team that wants to run the ball, play great defense. And look, they signed Akeem Ayers. They signed Nick Fairley. This is a team defensively that could be terrific. Now, their secondary, their two safeties played outstanding last year, outstanding. And if their corner play can be good, they could have an outstanding defense among the top two or three in the league. So offensively, they're not looking to turn the ball over. They're not looking to be aggressive and attacking. They're looking to hand the ball off. So they do need an upgrade on the O-line. They know that, but that's the way they're going to play.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. And they do have some weapons, obviously. They bring in Kenny Britt back, and obviously Quick was really good in Austin. And we'll see if they can utilize, Cignetti can utilize Tavon Austin, still have some talent at tight end as well. So
I've been impressed with Stedman Bailey every time he's played.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And again, this is not an offense where he's going to go 80 for 1,200, John, but I think he's one of those guys that understands how to run routes and understands how to get open.
Savvy guy, no question about it. But, it's a shame because they've got weapons here, but there likely won't be a ton of production to go around, basically because of what you just said there with their identity being the defense and the running attack. But again, it all kind of comes down to that offensive line. Let's go now to San Fran. Jim Tomsola taking over. Jeep Christ is going to be, he's a veteran guy. He's been around a long time. He's going to basically, I would think, Greg, run the same offense. I don't think he's going to change.
Well, he's been there. He's been there. So he's not, they're not bringing in someone from the outside, although I think they wanted to, and they ended up with Jeep. But, so much of this offense, as we know, is dependent on Kaepernick now and what kind of development he shows, because he was not very good last year. I guess the big question is Carlos Hyde, because they're going to have to run the ball. Can Carlos Hyde run the ball? How's their O-line? You know, Iupati did not have a great year last year. Even though he's a terrific player and has been, he did not have a great year. So we'll see how their O-line is. It's still pretty good, in my opinion. They now have Reggie Bush, which is a very intriguing signing, given how he'll probably be utilized, because he's not going to be a feature back. But Carlos Hyde, how do you see him, John? How are you looking at Hyde as you sort of project?
Well, you can't rely on Reggie Bush as your in-between the tackles lead.
No, he's not going to be.
Yeah. So therefore, it has to be Hyde. Now, I was going to ask you about it because I felt as if he never got a chance to get in rhythm. We've seen these guys. Look at Jonathan Stewart, for example. I mean, Jonathan Stewart was the best we've seen him in 5 years this year because he got the ball. So I don't know if Hyde was able to get that, but I will say this, that there were some runs from Hyde in which I thought he was shot out of a cannon. So that to me is fairly encouraging.
Right.
And
I think he's got ability. I don't think there's any question about the ability.
Yes, exactly. So some of these younger guys on the offensive line, they've quietly drafted some guys. So if they can step up and the line is decent, I understand everyone's looking at this team as kind of a train wreck right now. I kind of think they won't be as bad. And I also have felt that given the fact that Kaepernick doesn't have real good timing, anticipation, touch, and all that, I kind of felt like they've been wasting him without a deep threat. Well, you get arguably the best deep threat in the league now in Torrey Smith. Greg, he's going to be inefficient. He'll probably catch 48 balls, average 19 yards a catch. At least you're taking advantage of the cannon that Kaepernick has, and that's got to help the running attack as well.
Yeah, and Bolden's still there. I still think they're going to need a little more at wide out, although to me the wild card on this offense is Bruce Ellington.
Yes.
Because I think he's pretty talented, and now we'll see how he's used. How many snaps does he play in a game?
Can Vernon Davis actually do something as well? He's under contract. Yeah, yep. Bolden is the key because you've got Vernon Davis, who was basically a non-factor, banged up, and you've got Torrey, who's the most inefficient receiver in the league. Therefore, Anquan Bolden's going to catch 89 balls again this year. So he's appealing.
Yeah, he always does.
Yep. All right, and Seattle, they obviously make the big move. They lose Max Unger. They actually lose two guys on the O-line, James Carpenter as well. I don't know if that's a huge loss. But obviously, Greg and Jimmy Graham is the guy that they've been looking for. They've been looking for a tight end for a long, long time. What else is there to say? I'm sure he's going to be a glorified wide receiver here. He's going to help them in the red zone. I would think it'll be easier for Russell Wilson to run for touchdowns with Jimmy Graham and to throw for touchdowns with Jimmy Graham.
Well, I think you'll see a lot of two tight end sets. I really like Luke Wilson. Russell Wilson is a really good seam thrower, and Jimmy Graham can run the seams. So, look, when you pick up a guy like Graham, who's a high, high-level talent, it makes your team better. Now, this is my sense with Seattle. This is my sense. My sense is that they view the offensive line as a unit that does not have to be great, that they don't have to allocate a ton of resources to their O-line because of their back and their quarterback and the nature of their run game, that this is not a run game that's dependent on having studs up front.
Makes a lot of sense, Greg. I'm going to let you go here. We went pretty long, but that's kind of what
we expect.
Good
stuff, though, John. Good stuff for our first one.
Absolutely, Greg. This is outstanding. I got up early. I prepared, and it makes a difference. So we appreciate your efforts as well, Greg, and we're happy to have you back in 2015. Everyone follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Cosell. For Greg, I'm John Hansen. Remember, fantasyguru.com early bird discount ends in 1 month. Subscribe today for 20% less than we charged 2 decades ago. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Actually, we'll talk to you next week with our guys Matt Camp, Joe Dolan, Tom Brawley, starting our look at all 32 franchises here in the podcast world. We'll talk to you next time.